He likes his new hat, Eric.
I love my new hat.
He likes a hat.
I will be wearing it at the beach proudly.
Maybe
we'll get somebody from North Carolina to ask and come up and enjoy the Hoppy Valley Brewers Fest.
All right, well, yeah. Yeah, that's what I do. I bring gifts. I try to butter you up early in the morning, and that way we have a good interview here. Yeah.
Butter, cinnamon, sugar, the whole deal. We're joined here by Eric Engelbarts from the Happy Valley Sports and Entertainment Alliance, listening to the Ironhead Racing stories during the break.
Yes,
that was unique.
Well, you know, we do what we do.
All right, well, Eric, let's start with racing. There was the Ironman on Sunday. General question, how'd it go?
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, so I can say me and my staff are officially tired. Last week was a big week for us.
Holy cow.
We started out with the PIAA and the Spring Sports State Championships, which went very well, avoided a lot of the weather, and had some great games, including the longest baseball game on record.
Yeah, unbelievable, with about the most bizarre ending you're ever going to see. And I think it was the longest. Baldy Galeri was in the longest softball game in the final, I think, since 75.
A long time ago.
Yeah. You got your money's worth in terms of the innings played, for sure, with
those
two.
That's right. Got your money's worth, yeah. And then that led us right into the Ironman race weekend with athletes checking in on Friday and Saturday. And then Sunday ended up being almost perfect weather. I wish it was just a hint more dry, but that cloudy, the cool in the 60s is perfect for an endurance event, and the athletes loved it.
Yeah, I'm sure of that. And I know that the talks are going on, but it certainly a wildly, from Happy Valley's perspective, a wildly successful three-year run here with that event, right?
That's right. So this year we saw 1,111 athletes check in.
Amazing.
So 11 checked in, 36 different states and 30 countries, plus D.C. we're represented at the race this year.
Wow.
And, you know, the feedback that we get from that race is that the racers absolutely love the course. They love the community. They come out and support, and everything just goes so smooth, and it's so great. Now, we get that feedback. This year was the first year for the pro female races. And these pros were something like I have never seen before. We were standing at the swim start, and I had some friends that were competing that had come down and were in there. And the pros start, and they do this swim in 20 minutes. I mean, they're back before my friends even got in the water. And imagine you're doing 1.2 miles and you're swimming in literally 22 minutes. Like, that is just moving when you're in open water. You get onto the bike and they're averaging, I think it was 23 to 25 miles an hour, which is going up Center Hill Mountain. It's going up these crazy hills. And then you get to the run, and the leader is averaging sub-6 mile times for 13.1 miles. And that was 70 miles in 4 hours is what they ended up doing.
That's incredible.
Comes across the finish line, really, the winner does, which was just out of Philadelphia. First time she was in sprint triathlons. This is her second full 70.3 that she did. Comes across and not even winded. They put a microphone in her face. She's answering questions. She comes off the microphone, and we're looking at her. We're like, you don't even seem like you're winded. And she's like, oh, my lungs don't get tired. My legs do. And we're like, oh, my goodness. wow. So she finishes in just over, 4 hours, 15 minutes or something along that lines. And then my friends, we're in the 8 and 9 hour category. that's how much an average person will take to complete that course.
Which, that, I got to tell you, that is amazing. it really is. To be able to do that in a day is, to me, beyond impressive, remarkable.
That's right. And so the pro, came out, we're talking, they're like, I would absolutely advocate for this race to be on the pro series. And I think that's kind of where we shine, because, the swim is fantastic. The roads are the smoothest that they ever ride on. And then our run is also deceptively hard, but also, it's full of scenery with the university and everyone. It's very spectator friendly because you're doing multiple laps. And this year, I think the change that we made from finishing in Beaver Stadium to finishing on Curtin was an absolute home run. These athletes went into Beaver Stadium. They did a lap. They would go around, get the rest of the mileage on campus, and then they had to do it again. So there was two laps in Beaver with the finish on Curtin. And when these athletes would go into Beaver Stadium, there was a couple of, you know, they just start looking around in awe of, like, this place is huge.
Yeah.
You know, there's also athletes wearing, like, I married into this, you know, like rolling in, you know, as part of that speed. And I had a couple of buddies, you could tell they knew each other because they were running down the sideline. They're pretending to throw footballs to each other as they're cruising down and doing that. But when the average Ironman, you know, those that are competing for the first time cross that finish line at Curtin, and then we're able to hug their family and their loved ones, and you just see the waterworks going because they made it, and all of the training and all the struggle that went into it is something that, like, I got goosebumps right now just talking about it. It's amazing.
No, that's spectacular stuff. Do you know offhand the how many Pro Series races are officially approved?
No, I don't. No, that's a great question, honestly. And this was our first year for the female pros, and we were just kind of learning, like, what does that mean? And I guess at the beginning of the season, they lay out the races, and then they ask for, like, RSVPs. And so, like, we had 40 so pros RSVP, and then we had a little over 20 show up. So I guess it's a little bit of that cat and mouse game of who's going to this race and who's not going to this race, and then can I get in the top five, you know, in this race? And so they're kind of, you know, manipulating where they go. But yeah, I mean, it was awesome. It was awesome to watch. Yeah.
All right. Now the 3-year contract is up. Now what happens?
Well, now we start the negotiations. Yeah, for sure. So, you know, Ironman, it's a business, you know, it's a for-profit, you know, business. And so it's not cheap to put these things on. And if you go, I mean, the swim is its own event, the bike is its own event, the run is its own event, and everything is done at the highest level. I mean, we're talking, we're bringing portable cell phone towers in the Bald Eagle so that there's comms. You know, like, that's the only time you're going to get a cell phone signal that you can send a video out. You know, it's like during that competition. And, you know, roads are being repaired and runs are being set up. They're bringing in their own barricades. I mean, they're doing everything. And so, I mean, it's an endeavor. And we got to make sure that it makes financially sense for Ironman. And then also, it is a huge lift on us as well. There's host city agreements. There's you know, things as part of the contract that we're responsible for, that all of that adds up. And when you look at how many athletes are you hosting, how long are they in town, how much are they spending when they stay, and that will give us a number, you know, essentially an estimated economic impact number. And that's really what our office does, is we compare our investment versus the return, and we say, is this something that needs to stay, or can we find something that might fit better in Happy Valley? But, you know, I think the sentiment is, you know, our race director has started that hashtag bring it back. And we're hearing all of the stories of those that have competed in Happy Valley. And those that have been here love it. But I will say, we do have a reputation out in the Ironman world of, this is a hard course. This might not be the best for a beginner, but the pros love it. So we're kind of in that weird space. Yeah. But actually, we have meetings set up this afternoon to literally start talking through what does need to happen in order to extend the contract.
Not holding you to anything, but just a couple of follow-up questions on it. Would you categorize it as optimistic, like 50-50? Would you care to characterize it? But also, like, how quickly does it need to move in order to bring it back for next year? I imagine this has got to be, because there's a lot of planning, as you said, that goes in. This isn't something that, you know, we'll figure it out by the new year or something like that.
Right, right. Yeah, I think if it was an automatic, it'd be done by now. But, yeah, really, you know, that first year we saw, I think it was 2,800 athletes, and then we were down to 1,800. Now we're at 1,111. And I think, I don't know if I had told this story, but I had friends coming in from where I previously worked in Grand Rapids, and, you know, there's a rep out there about the course. And so if you're talking to triathlon coaches and they're saying, don't go there, it's too hard. Like, that's not necessarily the marketing you want out there across the country. But, you know, like, we have those pros that are advocating to be on the Pro Series. You know, maybe there's something there. But ultimately, you know, we're out there. We want to promote Happy Valley. We want to host these events, bring people in. And that triathlon, it showcases, you know, the beautiful Bald Eagle. It showcases our beautiful roads, which you don't get these roads anywhere else in the country. They're so smooth. And that's what we hear time and time again. And then, of course, you know, our big economic boon here is the university. That's what everyone's here to see and do. And so you get to end there. You get to see the iconic venues. You run around Old Main. You get to take pictures in front of the Nittany Lion. I mean, you do everything. And so it really is like an ultimate marketing tool for Happy Valley. And so we you know, I think it's, we'd love to have it stay, but ultimately it's going to boil down to numbers.
Yeah. The final question of this, and then we will talk some other things, but the, is that 3-year contract standard, or is that something that can be negotiated, or is that part of the negotiations, or is that just kind of a standard, whether it's Pro Series or, I don't know which, amateur or whatever it is? Is that 3-year standard, or are you looking for longer?
Yeah, I think in the initial engagement, I think a 3-year deal is right. And that's what I would use just from my background and my experience, too, is like first year, everyone's excited. You kind of learn your lessons of what needs to be done. Year two is where you hope to build. And then by year three, this is what you got. And so, you know, when you're in my role, and I think I had been quoted saying this in the paper, it was just, you'd love for all of those things that you're looking at to be consistent, you know, the consistent date, a consistent, you know, whatever. And 3 years, we've had 3 different dates. We've come up against different things. This year, we were on Father's Day. You know, did that affect registration, or does it not affect registration? You just don't know. And so when you're trying to compare year over year to figure out, is it the reputation or is it just the date? You know, you don't know.
That's interesting. Hoppy Valley Brewers Fest. We go from one end to the other.
We're talking sports, now we're talking entertainment. All right.
Absolutely. That's not going anywhere. The beer drinkers won't allow it. Tell us a little bit for folks that haven't been, because it really is, even if you don't partake in beer, there really is a lot of opportunity to just go up and enjoy an afternoon. But if you are a beer lover, certainly some tasty beverages. But what I really like about it is you are able to learn a little bit about the craft and what goes into it. And I also love hearing the background stories of how and why the brewers got into what they now do for a living. I think it's just fascinating to hear some of the background stories there. But talk a little bit about Hoppy Valley Brewers.
That's right. Hoppy Valley Brewers Fest, that's Saturday, July 19th, so new date this year. Last year we were on the field at Beaver Stadium, which was absolutely a home run. That was my first event in which I got to work with the crew out of Beaver Stadium. We put out one social media post, and we had like 3,000 people sign up to the newsletter, and I was in awe by like the power of Beaver Stadium. It was crazy. That was my first one. I was humbled by that. You know, like, I knew it was an attraction, but I didn't realize what we were getting into. And then I felt the responsibility to make sure that it went well. But due to the renovation, you know, fire codes, capacity limits, all of those things, making sure people are going to be safe, we decided we're going to move across the street. We're going to be in Porter North, which is attached to Medlar Field. Right now we have just about, I think it's like 70 to 75 different breweries that have committed. And it was very strategic. We didn't call this a beer festival. We called it a brewer's fest. And the reason why we did that is when we're reaching out to these craft breweries, we're asking for an owner. We're asking for a brewer. We're asking for someone that's involved with the making of the craft beer. So that if you are an aficionado and you do have a question, you can go up to their booth and you can talk to them about what went into this, how long did it take, you know, whatever questions, you know, what type of yeast or hops are you using?
Yep.
You know, and you can drill down to the inner nerddom, you know, as far as you want to go as it relates to craft. Another thing that we do that kind of separates us, which the general public doesn't get to see, but on that Friday night, we put on a brewer's reception. And all these breweries come in. They stay an extra night, which obviously we love the hotel night. But they come in. We do a special event for them on campus. And then they all bring samplings of their beer. And that is the best lineup of alcohol you have ever seen. I mean, it is like top-notch beer from like these 60 different breweries. And all of these brewers and owners are mixing and mingling. And there's music going on. And like, if you could get into that, that's what you'd want to see. But yeah, no, the general public, you come in. You pay one price. So for $65, you get 4 hours of unlimited sampling. Now, we'll give you a 3-ounce cup due to state limits. Yep. You're not going to get a full pour. However, you can drink as much as you can tolerate. And we do ask everyone to kind of be safe and, you know, make sure they have rides to get home, yes. Use ride shares and all that. Designated drivers are welcome as well. But yeah, you get 4 hours. And then for those that are really into it, you can take that VIP pass. That's
highly recommended. That's what we're doing over here.
That's right. Yeah, so you will pay a little extra. It's $95, but then you get an hour before the general admission comes in, and that hour will allow you to go to those favorite breweries that you like, not have to wait in line. And you'll be able to talk and take your time and really enjoy the experience. So, you know, when we look at it, you're getting in. It's right there. You have both Beaver Stadium, Medlar Field. You got the beautiful view. You have all these craft breweries in one spot. We will have entertainment going on, so we'll have a music set up. We're getting ready to release the entertainment lineup, which will just add to that atmosphere. And then, you know, to think that if you're a VIP, you get 5 hours of drinking high-end craft beer for $95.
Yeah, and it is darn good stuff. Just letting you know, if you are a lover of beer, that is the place you want to be. And then let's go back to sports a little bit and talk about the bike race in downtown State College. This is going to be a very unique opportunity.
That's right, yeah. So, you know, I've heard this has been done before, but not ever where we're at and not at the level that we're going to be producing. So this is called the State College Criterium. It's a cycling race. It's a discipline of cycling. So as you're probably aware of, like mountain biking and road racing, we fall in that road racing discipline where these athletes will be racing in a closed course loop. So kind of think of like NASCAR on two wheels. And we'll be racing down one of the most prolific roads in Beaver Avenue. Let me tell you, it is not easy to close Beaver Avenue. It is a state road. It's in the borough. And people tend to throw up some red flags when you're trying to do this. So we would love to welcome everybody out to come watch this. But they race the opposite direction on Beaver. They will then take a left on Pew, go to Foster, take a left, and then a left on Garner, and that's your 0.72-mile race course. And these racers will race around this circle for an amount of time, and then plus a couple of laps. So they kind of figure out what is the average lap speed, and then like the pros, as an example, I shouldn't say pros, it's state championships, the state pros, I guess, will race for about 60 minutes plus then like two or three laps. The first person to cross the finish line then wins. So there's a lot of strategy that goes into it. There's a lot of grouping of athletes. There will be sprints where athletes will just take off and try to elongate the pack, because if you get lapped, you are out.
You cannot
get lapped. And so there's a lot of strategy that goes into it, a lot of racing together, a lot of drafting that goes into it. And you know, we have a medical plan, we have medical sponsors, we have all of these things, but you will see some tight turns, a lot of people right next to each other, they're bumping, they're elbowing, they're not supposed to, but it will happen, and, you know, ultimately you hope everyone's safe, but you will probably see some road rash.
Now, do you need any volunteers for that event? Is this like Iron Man in that regard, or they have everything set up with the official people? Are there volunteer opportunities?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. Definitely. Always looking for volunteers. And so, like, because this is a closed course, that means that there will be think it's 8,000 feet of fencing that goes around both sides of the course, and there'll be pedestrian walkways. Yeah, so there'll be volunteers from helping set up to check the racers in to, you know, I'm working the pedestrian path, so I'm allowed, like, I'm stopping somebody, be like, here comes the race, and then you let somebody cross the road. A whole host of different opportunities, and I believe we're in the final stages of putting together that, and so we should be within the next week or so promoting the volunteer opportunities. Okay. But all of these events, whether it's Hoppy Valley Brewers Fest, you can even learn about Ironman, and then of course the State College Criterium are on our website at the Happy Valley Sports and Entertainment Alliance.com.
Fantastic.
Date and time, Eric?
Oh, good question. Yeah, I appreciate you saying that.
Sure.
So it's going to be a busy July for us. That Hoppy Valley was July 19th, and then literally the next weekend on that Saturday, July 26th, will be the State College Criterium.
Love it.
Oh, boy. We're going to have a busy July.
Holy yes, man. We are.
Okay. Well, thank you for the kind hat. All right.
Love
it. My partner here is like on cloud nine already.
I will be wearing a hat on you.
Yes, indeed. And you're already signed up for this gig. Is that right?
Yes.
Oh.
Me and a group of us are already planning to head up. So.
Okay. Well, Eric, you've been warned. All right.
We'll have to keep an eye on
here they come.
All right, they always do.
Appreciate your time. Thanks, Eric.
Thank you for having us. Yeah,
Eric. Thank you.
We got a busy July coming up, folks.
Oh,
holy mackerel.
Can hardly wait.
All right.